Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Third Coast Podcast. I'm Katie Mingle. You'll hear our weekly radio show, ReSound, here, as well as the occasional story curated recently from our audio library at thirdcoastfestival.org. The Third Coast Festival is a nonprofit organization whose livelihood depends in part on support from listeners like you. To find out how you can help or to check out all of the cool stuff we do apart from our radio show, visit our website, thirdcoastfestival.org. Thanks and enjoy the podcast.
I'm in a strange town tonight. Nobody knows me here.
From the Third Coast International Audio Festival in Chicago, I'm Gwen Maxey, and this is ReSound.
Nobody expects anything of me. I can disappoint no one.
ReSound is a remix of music, documentaries, found sound, audio samples, and audible odds and ends we find all over the world. In other words, we curate. And ReSound is almost always a showcase of curated work. But once in a while, we like to step out of that role and actually bring new work into the world. So how do you make dozens of audio producers from far and wide, both novice and veteran, create new radio stories for you? Well, you give them a few rules and a few incentives, find some amazing collaborators, and voila! You have the Third Coast Short Docs Challenge, which in 2010 brought in 141 entries from all over the world.
It was a way to sort of throw open the doors of the medium and say, anyone can do this, come give it a try.
Rule number one, use one of four titles selected from the book's album, The Way Out, as the inspiration and title of your submission. Rule number two, the length of your submission should not exceed 3 minutes.
On today's ReSound, we'll hear some of our favorite stories from the 2010 Third Coast Short Docs Challenge, Book Odds, and talk to the organizer of the project, Third Coast Artistic Director Julie Shapiro, about the rules, the incentives, and the collaboration with the books. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. It's great to be here. You know how I love to talk about the Short Docs every year.
Well, let's start by talking about the collaboration between Third Coast and the books.
For each challenge, we try to find a perfect partner, somebody from outside the radio world, because frankly, the radio world isn't as big as it could be, and what we are always trying to do is make it bigger. And one of the best ways to do this is to team up with another artistic endeavor or partnership or artists working in other fields and try to draw some of their audience into our world. And this Short Docs Challenge, which we called the Book Odds Challenge, came about because of a long-standing desire to work with one of our favorite bands, The Books.
And why?
Yeah, why did we think they'd be perfect collaborators? Well, basically what they do is they write beautiful music, but they also take samples from all over the place, like every little dusty corner of the world that they find, audio recordings, videotapes that they convert to audio, just bizarre sounds, stories, narrations. They're constantly collecting, so they sort of curate their own collection of sounds, and they put all of these different samples into their music, so they actually end up being storytellers. And that's where I thought the direct connection was to what Third Coast is invested in, which is using sound and story to express things about the world.
I can hear a collective rumbling in America.
I've lost my house. You've lost your house.
I don't suppose it matters which way we go. this great society is going smash.
And we should say that the books are you keep saying they, but it's really just two guys.
Oh, yeah.
Two very, very, very talented guys.
At the core of the books, Nick Zamuto and Paul DeYoung, they occasionally play with Nick's brother, and they draw on some other musicians, but really from the get-go, the project's been the two of them.
He's in the middle of putting things together and organizing himself.
You do not need to stand on one foot.
So every challenge has a very particular set of rules. What were the rules for this challenge?
Right. We set the rules up so people have a starting point. It's a really important part of this project because the constraint, there's this idea that creativity through constraint is sometimes easier to achieve than, you know, starting with a blank canvas or a blank slate. So we have rules with every challenge, and they're always different. We arrive at the rules with the partner. So we talked with Nick and Paul quite a lot about what the rules would be for the Book Odds Challenge.
Rule number one. Use one of four titles selected from the book's album, The Way Out, as the inspiration and title of your submission. Titles are A Cold Freezing Night, I Didn't Know That, All You Need Is a Wall, and Chain of Missing Links. Rule number two. The length of your submission should not exceed 3 minutes. Rule number three. Use at least two of the following 8 audio samples in your submission.
I'm in a strange town tonight. Nobody knows me here. Nobody expects anything of me. I can disappoint no one.
Okay, so that is what the producers had to choose from. And if you listen carefully, you can hear at least two of those in every submission.
If you listen to even a handful of the short docs, you'll start hearing them. And it becomes kind of a game to find the samples and the pieces. It's almost like the Where's Waldo? Where are the samples in the pieces?
So we're about to dive in and listen to some of the submissions. But is there anything you want to tell us or anything you want to comment on before we do?
Well, maybe one thing to know before we do this is that we had an abnormally large submission collection of really great pieces featuring kids. Now, I should say that we have a kind of low tolerance, high radar for the cute kid factor on the radio. It's not something that as an organization we're usually drawn to all that much, but every piece we're going to play for you today with an adorable child in it, we think is really worth listening to and hearing. And it's a great story besides the fact that it has some cute kids in it.
Title, Chain of Missing Links. Producer, Eve Abrams. Description, the heartfelt reactions of first grade students in New Orleans to the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
I do not like what's happening with the ocean. It's really making me sad.
Whose fault do you think it is, Kennedy?
Whoever dug a hole in the ground and made the oil spill. Because whoever did it, they owe me an apology.
Has the oil stopped coming out of the ground, or is it still coming out?
It's still coming out. It's still coming out, and I don't want it to still coming out.
Is it coming out while we're sitting here?
Yes. I pray every night for it to go away.
Let's all say our prayers. We absolutely hope Top Kill works. Depending on what happens with the top hat, it's quite likely that we could do the junk shot either way.
The tar balls washing ashore in the Florida Keys are an example of what might happen should oil become entrained in the loop current.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal is still asking for federal permission to build sand barriers linking chains of outer islands to protect inland marshes.
If that's successful, we would be bringing this incident to a close.
I think it caught all our eyes when Doug Soto said, if we get this top kill, we're done. We are not done.
New Orleans is not just a port for New Orleans or a port for Louisiana. We're a port of national significance. And if a port is closed, the link in the chain of economic development and the movement of commerce is gone to hell in a handbasket.
A chain can't do its job with a missing link.
A chain of missing links, all it would be is links everywhere. It's gonna be a broken, messed up chain.
I wish I could fly all the way up into the sky, and while the oil's still coming up, I'm not on the ground so it don't touch me.
Do you think that it's gonna get bigger and bigger, it's gonna hit our city, and then we're gonna have to let ourselves die? Cause if I see oil, if I see a little bit of oil in the streets, I'm sneaking away to Washington, D.C.
What are you going to do in Washington, D.C.?
Live with the president.
I'd rather don't have a car and let the fish stay alive, because you can walk. That's what legs are for.
Chain of Missing Links by Eve Abrams. Title: Chain of Missing Links, El Pájaro Volador. Producer: Brendan Baker. Description: A Spanish guitarist and multi-instrumentalist talks about her pájaro volador, one of her many homemade instruments built from recycled objects.
I call this my pájaro volador. It's a flying bird, you know? You know, there's something about wings and flying and air and breathing. And birds, there's a common string, the way birds sing. You know, they are the great masters. You know, try to imitate what they do with these tubes. So that's why I was doing this. This is a hose I found. It's a plastic hose. It's just you blow it with a technique. Because it's a matter of angle. Then you know, I just decorated with feathers. Also, people have looked at me playing, and they came with a feather. They said, this is for your bird, you know. Sort of like wanting to participate in decorating my instrument. Yeah. And also, it has another sound that I like very much. And then these other colored threads, all these other strings that are here. Bright blue, the other is red, yellow. This pink one is the string of a kite of a boy that I met in Oaxaca. He's like 6 years old. He lives in these really high mountains where all the kids play with his kites. I was born in a big city in Madrid, and I never had a kite in my life. So he taught me how to make a kite. So it also is related to wind and to flying. Yeah. I was in the desert with it, you know, and then when the wind, how would you say it, roll it? Yeah? Like make it swing, going in circles fast. So that way, you know, the wind gets into the tube naturally and it makes the sound. It's a common string. It sounds metaphorical, like that. about winds and air and breathing and birds and flying, and music also make your spirit fly. So that's why I call this my flying bird, mi pájaro volador, el pájaro volador.
Chain of Missing Links, El Pájaro Volador, by Brendan Baker.
So it is.
You're listening to ReSound from the Third Coast Festival in Chicago. I'm Gwen Maxey. Today, we're sampling from the results of the 2010 Third Coast Short Docs Challenge, Book Odds. Our call out to everyone far and wide, regardless of experience, to submit short audio stories that followed a few rules. Each story had to be no more than 3 minutes long and include at least 2 of 8 sound samples provided by the band and our collaborator on the project, The Books, and be named after 1 of 4 song titles from the book's album, The Way Out. After that, the stories could go in any direction, and indeed, they did.
Every year, it's really fascinating to hear how people from every corner of the world take the same building blocks, the same set of rules, and then create these wildly different stories, depending on how the rules relate to their own lives, I think.
And how important is it that people follow the rules to the T? I mean, how much leeway is there?
Well, we encourage, I would say, a broad interpretation of the rules. They have to be followed, it has to be discernible, and they had to have titles that fell in line with the song titles that we chose, although you could sort of, people started changing those around just a little bit, and that was fine, too, because each story took on its own sort of personality in relation to the song title. And then, absolutely, they couldn't go over 3 minutes. So that one we're pretty strict about. The ones that challenge us to think about how the rules are actually followed are some of the more exciting pieces, so we would also have those in the running for the ultimate choice of 4.
Title: All You Need Is a Microwave. Producer: David Schultz. Description: Sometimes interviews take strange turns, especially when the interviewee is a 9-year-old boxer with an inventive imagination.
J.R. Jenkins is a boxer. He lives in Prince George's County, Maryland, and he is 9 years old. I spoke with him at a fundraiser for his youth boxing club.
Tell me more about that. You said you got involved in boxing because you got into a fight on the streets. Tell me about that.
I never got into a fight on the streets, but people mess with me and they get me upset, so I just let it out.
And what were they doing?
They kept on calling me names, messing with me because my mother wasn't married when I was born. They kept on hitting me, fighting me.
But now that you know how to box, now you have boxing skills, do they mess with you anymore?
Well, they still mess with me, but they don't know what I can do, but I won't do nothing to them.
Why do you like boxing? Tell me about why you like boxing.
Well, I like boxing from the beginning because it inspired and motivated me to do things that I think I can't do, but I can try to do.
Like what?
Like, I'm trying to be a scientist and invent a wireless microwave.
A wireless microwave?
Yes.
Where did you get the idea for that?
I got the idea from when I was 5 and everybody kept on getting shocked by the plugs of the microwave. So I want to invent one that's harmless to people.
Would it use batteries or how would you power it?
It's just wireless. No batteries, no nothing. Just take it with you. It's like a little button on the side that you press. I would try to put the buttons on it that tell you what food you can make, like frozen food or like chicken or something.
That's smart, yeah. Or like popcorn or something like that. Or
yeah, popcorn or anything that you can make that's food or organic.
How would this work? This sounds like a really interesting idea, actually. Tell me more about that.
It will work. First, I gotta get into a great science school, into a great college, to get the gadgets and gizmos, and then I have to pay attention to school and ignore the bullies, and then I'm okay.
All You Need Is a Microwave by David Schultz. Title: All You Need Is Gum on a Wall. Producer: Emily Eagle. Description: A monster grows while attracting tourists in downtown Seattle.
One night, there was a line outside the theater.
I'm in a strange town tonight.
Kind of a dark alley with cobblestones, and it's slanting down, so be careful when you walk.
Nobody knows me here.
I got goosebumps. It's kind of creepy.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I'm trying to tell you. Now, this thing had killed a doc.
But what was it?
I don't know, maybe...
Stop with it, kid.
Okay, it's green.
But it's kind of like a mass that keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Is that an enormous piece of gum? Gum! Gum! Gum!
Every one of you, look out. Because soon, very soon, the most horrifying monster menace ever conceived will be oozing into this theater.
The manager of the theater didn't like people to bring their gum inside the theater because he had problems with people sticking the gum underneath their seats. So he would ask people not to bring chewing gum into the theater.
So people would line up at the box office, and it was a natural phenomenon. People just started sticking gum on the wall.
Two teenagers see it first.
It started as a whole bunch of kids just vandalizing it.
Because one person stuck it. And another person stuck it, and then another person.
The theater was actually asked twice to remove the gum by Pike Place Market.
So everyone else stuck it.
From then on, there's no stopping the
gum
as it spreads from town to town.
Why else would he come to Seattle if it's not to put gum on the wall?
That's the only thing he wanted to do coming from Phoenix, Arizona, is just to put gum on the wall.
How much would I have to pay you to pull off a piece and chew it?
Priceless.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
And it's living proof that gum is not biodegradable.
This town is in danger.
How can it be stopped? Mob hysteria sweeps one city. Before long, the nation.
And the songs say, "Oh, beautiful America," but I don't think it's pretty.
I think it's repulsive, but cool at the same time.
It's gum on a wall. Like, why are people attracted to it?
Brother would lick the wall if you interview him.
No, he won't.
Lawrence, come here.
Better not.
He's gonna interview you. Lick it, 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 lick it.
Gum on a wall.
All You Need Is Gum on a Wall by Emily Eagle. Title: All You Need Is a Wall, Mimo. Producer: Alex Blair. Description: Nothing makes sense when these things happen.
All you need is a wall, or a bed, or a hillside. And you take that wall, and that bed, and that hillside, and you scream into it because she is dying. Because one moment she is happy and singing. She loves to sing. And the next moment she's in a coma. And she will be in that coma for 3 days. And then she will die 5 days before her 87th birthday. Your grandmother. Your Mimo.
Okay, Mimo, I'm just sitting down next to you with my microphone. I'm just going to record your breathing. And this is my hand on your hand, okay?
You sit around her bedside with other family members, or you are there alone. You cut the blossoms from the lemon tree outside and make a crown around her head. You think that maybe she can still smell the flowers. And you talk to her and talk to her, because they tell you that hearing is the last thing to go. You tell her it's okay if she wants to go, but she knows you and she knows you're lying. We bring in the CDs she recorded of her old cassette tapes, the music of her childhood. The quality is terrible, but we put the small boombox by her bed and just sit there, listening to the songs, slipping our hand into her hand,
thinking that we feel movement and telling each other so. And then suddenly, her voice, saying my mother's name.
The next is for you, Margot. Shake a hip.
We stare at each other wide-eyed. And then we realize it was recorded on the CD. We press repeat on that track over and over and over again. Later, when it is dark, you will go to that wall, or that bed, or that hillside, and you will be there. And that's all.
All You Need Is a Wall, Mimo, by Alex Blair.
It was a way to sort of throw open the doors of the medium and say, anyone can do this, come give it a try.
Yeah, yeah, if it's a wall, you should cast a shadow. Oh, maybe possibly.
You're listening to ReSound from the Third Coast Festival in Chicago. I'm Gwen Maxey. Today, we're showcasing the results of the 2010 Third Coast Short Docs Challenge, Book Odds, that invited people from all over the world to make short radio stories inspired by sound samples and song titles from our collaborator on the project, The Books. I'm talking with Julie Shapiro, Artistic Director of the Third Coast Festival. What was the extent of the collaboration with The Books? What exactly did they do?
They were on board from the start, and I think they were excited to also see what people would do with samples from their library. So they were very active. They helped us pick the samples, helped winnow down a huge selection of samples into ones that we could consider and then consult with them. And then they also helped us choose the winners. We winnowed down the submissions to a manageable number for them to listen to, and then we had a couple conversations with them about who the winners would be.
And did you find yourself in tussles with them? Were you all having passionate wars about what to include and what not?
I loved how vocal and opinionated they were. And they were bringing a musician's perspective and listening, you know, from
in a different way.
Yeah. So yeah. When we would explain, well, from a radio perspective, we were thinking about this. I think that was interesting for them. And we had some really good conversations about, you know, what was meritorious about these pieces and then the ubiquitous, well, I just like this piece or I just don't like this piece. So I found their creative energies really helpful in this and that they were really up for it, really game to sort of come along with us. And then this was in the middle of a huge tour they were starting off to launch their new record over the summer. So we were really grateful for the time that they gave to the project.
Title: A Cold Freezing Night, The Enigmatic Man. Producer: Katie Mingle. Description: Was it just a dream? I can't remember now.
It was a cold, freezing night when I ran into the enigmatic man. I was walking home from the bar when he stopped me for a cigarette. He didn't ask exactly, just gestured toward my pack of cigarettes and raised his eyebrows as if to say, "Could I get one of those?" "How's it going?" I asked. He didn't answer at first, and then, just as I was starting to walk away, he said,
"I'm in a strange town tonight. Nobody knows me here. Nobody expects anything of me. I can disappoint no one."
"Okay," I said. I'm not sure why I wasn't scared of him, but his tall, lanky frame was not imposing. When he started following me home, I just felt sad for him, like he was a puppy who had lost his way. My friends had built a fire in the yard at my house. We didn't have heat that winter, so it was warmer to sit around in the yard by the fire than to be inside. When we walked up, one of my roommates said, "Hey man, who are you?" And the enigmatic man said,
I'm in a strange town tonight. Nobody knows me here. Nobody expects anything of me. I can disappoint no one.
My roommate tossed him a can of beer. We sat around drinking and talking until 3 a.m. The enigmatic man didn't say a word, but he seemed content. When the fire was almost out, we went inside and crawled under piles of cold blankets, leaving the enigmatic man alone in the yard. Before I fell asleep, I looked out the window and saw him staring into the last flickering coals of the fire. I yell whispered out the window, "Hey, mister, don't you have anywhere to go?" And he yell whispered back,
"I'm in a strange town tonight. Nobody knows me here. Nobody expects anything of me here. I can disappoint no one."
I went outside and gave him a blanket. He smiled and put the blanket around his shoulders. In the morning, he was gone. In the ash of the fire, I noticed the burnt-up remnants of a wallet. Inside were his driver's license and one of those pictures people get taken in the photo studio at Sears with their families. In the picture, the enigmatic man had his arm around a woman and his hand on the shoulder of a young boy. The name on his license was illegible, but I thought I could make out an address, so I called information to find his phone number. I dialed the number, but no one answered. Not his wife, or his kid, or even a machine. It just rang, and rang, and rang.
A Cold Freezing Night, The Enigmatic Man, by Katie Mingle. Title: A Cold Freezing Night, Inverse Winter. Producer: Sarah Bromer. Description: In Tucson, Arizona, summer is like winter in Canada.
I dream of a cold, freezing night. I am a Canadian. A cold, freezing night is my birthright. Instead, I'm here. Naked on the couch at 4:23 in the afternoon. My cat and I stare out the window at the bright dirt yard below, the prickly pear cactus shimmering in an ocean of heat. Ancient insects clinging to the undersides of branches, dominating the air with their metallic drone. The cicadas. You can hide indoors, but you know the heat is out there waiting for you. Everything is backwards in this inverse winter. People push through the heat on their bicycles like Canadian farmers struggling to make it from the house to the barn in the middle of a blizzard. -6 is 106. Old people are warned to stay indoors. Break of day is break of night. But even at night, the wind is hot like a hairdryer. In Nova Scotia, where I belong, every night is a cold, freezing night. Even tonight, 4th of July. In my mind, I see the cold, freezing moon rise over the cold, freezing waters of the Bay of Fundy, my aunts and cousins bundled in ponchos around the wood fire, the distant cry of the loon. I remember one time my Canadian cousin and I picked up this old paperback called Johnny Come Deadly, and we read it out loud to each other, giggling, on a lovely, freezing cold Canadian summer day. The main guy, Johnny, steps off an airplane in Arizona and says, "It was hot. Hotter than hell in Technicolor." We thought that was so funny and ridiculous. How did I get here? It's the fault of my 20s. Such wanderlust. And now I'm here, 35, employed and in love, displaced, maladapted, sunburned. But perhaps it's not so strange that I am here. Perhaps it is the Canadian in me that settled here in this land of extremes, where people know what it is to suffer and wait. For weeks, I've watched the clouds gather over the Catalina Mountains. The sky was blue this morning, but now the clouds are gathering once again. The wind picks up, but this time you can smell something in it. Creosote. The wind blows harder and a chair tips over. And then this. And this. And this is what we wait for. The storm is this inverse winter's sweet respite.
When it happens, you know why it is they call it the monsoon. There's so much more emotion in it. And when the monsoon comes and I run out to the yard and laugh with my neighbor, I belong. I am here, one of these people. The monsoon is my Canadian fire in this inverse winter's freezing cold night.
A Cold Freezing Night, Inverse Winter by Sarah Bromer.
A cold freezing night. Oh, baby. Ow, 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 ow. Come on, clap, clap, clap. All right, that's the attitude. Ow, 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 ow. And I wish I was a boy.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Resound from the Third Coast Festival in Chicago. I'm Gwen Maxey. Today, we're sampling from the results of the 2010 Third Coast Short Docs Challenge, Book Odds. In a few minutes, we'll play the four winning short docs. But first, a history lesson from some very adorable historians.
Title, I Didn't Know That, A Short People's History of the United States. Producer, Stephanie Coleman. Description, a young rendering of an old story.
It may seem like an unlikely setting, but the Carroll Park Playground in Brooklyn, New York is a hotbed for intellectual discourse. Amidst strollers and monkey bars, a group of young New York academics gather to recollect the history of our country.
Well, it started when there were dinosaurs around. Then came cavemen, then came the Ice Age, and then came us.
Well, there were Indians before.
Yeah, well,
they discovered America. Well, Columbus did, but they discovered America
Columbus
first.
Sailed the ocean blue in 1492. It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here.
And then other people found it, and then it became America.
The English got colonies, and those colonies, they didn't want to be England, and they did this whole war, the Revolutionary War, and then they became a different country.
They fondly remember the nation's first president.
Well, the most important guy was
George Washington.
George Washington.
And he also had wooden teeth.
And the great emancipator?
No, not Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
He was 60 president. I know how he died. Well, he was at a movie and he was thinking to let all the slaves go. And then someone heard him and just shot him. I think he probably had slaves and he didn't want to let them go.
A lot of different people had different ideas like on slavery and rights.
It wasn't very civil, but so I have no idea why they call it the Civil War.
They maintain no illusions about the realities of war. A recent kindergarten graduate describes the end of World War II.
An American dropped a mushroom bomb in Japan. And a lot of people died.
What do you think about that?
Well, that's the thing that happens in the war. You have to be prepared to lose troops and stuff like that.
But eventually there comes triumph and optimism.
And I remember Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King.
He was a very great man because in the old days, say there's a diner and the white people could only go in that diner and the black people could
And the water fountains are the same, and the playgrounds are the same, and the bus is the same.
Now today, it doesn't matter, like, who you are, what color you are, it doesn't really matter.
This is a large milestone because the first African-American president.
And I hope that when I grow up, maybe I'll be the first woman president.
The job that I want in the future is to be a midwife.
I might want to be a congressman.
My job I'd like to be is a dancer.
I wonder what it's going to be like, because we'll never know until tomorrow.
I Didn't Know That, A Short People's History of the United States, by Stephanie Coleman.
So each year, four of the submissions are chosen as the official short doc selections. The producers of these stories win a trip to Chicago to attend our conference and present their work in front of a live audience. Julie, how do you choose the winning stories?
Well, the four that we choose out of all the submissions, we usually want to show a pretty good spread of execution of the idea. So we want different topics. We want a creative use of sound to be involved. We'll look at these through the lenses that we use when we listen to any radio story. What's the story choice? How's the writing? How is sound used to tell the story? But we're also looking for a geographical spread. We're looking for innovation, people surprising us. We're looking for stories that are made by different kinds of people, so not just NPR reporters and not just first-time, you know, writing students from down the road. So we're just looking for as varied a selection of four that we can get.
And we're just going to say a word before we hear each one. We're going to start with Frances Willick's piece, which is so much fun. Julie, what do you want to say about this one?
Well, Frances is an independent producer who lives in Canada. And I have to say, this was a topic we had never heard broached on the radio. And something that we really love about this piece is the sense of humor in it, because I think humor doesn't come out in informational radio often enough.
And I hasten to add that not only have you probably never heard of this on the radio, you've probably never heard or seen it anywhere.
But you will probably go to the internet and look for it after hearing this piece.
Definitely.
Title: All You Need Is a Wall, Slug Sex. Producer, Frances Willick. Description: In 2004, a group of Pride Day revelers gathered for a party on Creighton Street in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and were treated to a riveting display of hermaphroditic slug sex.
Earlier in the night, we'd been having a barbecue in the backyard, and we had seen these two slugs following each other up
the wall. We saw two slugs like crawling up the wall.
They were touching, like that one head was touching the other's tail, and we were like, what are they up to?
And then I went to another party, and I came back, I think probably not more than half an hour later, and everyone was like, they're doing it, like the slugs.
Everyone was freaking out in the backyard.
And they were like crawling on top of each other.
They were also secreting a bunch of, I don't know if there's a nicer term for that.
A lot of slime was coming out.
Slime.
There was this really gross yellow slime from it.
Can you order some slime?
The slime was so much that they were barely touching the wall. They were starting to kind of hang from it.
They were hanging by the slime. And they were, like, twirling around each other.
Full body twist.
They ended up looking like a spiral, kind of, but hanging by a big, thick, like, slime goo thing off of a shingle. But this is the part. This is, like, totally mind-blowing.
Watching slugs hop in. F***ing party.
And then
there was
this white thing, sort of tube.
These big clear tubes.
Things came out of what looked like their head.
Like it was this huge thing that just came out of their neck.
And then those started like twisting around each other in the same way as the slugs are twisted around each other.
In like another kind of full twist.
Yolanda was there and she saw this happen last year.
Said,
and
wait
she
till
was
they
like,
bloom. And everyone was like, they bloom?
You just wait till it gets a fin on it. And we were like, what?
So then the ends of the like tubes that come out of them, the translucent tubes, they get really big, and it looks like a flower.
Like petals?
It was like a fin.
Or like leaves? It sort of looked like a cabbage. Like it really looked like a miniature world, like a whole other, like, sort of planet or something.
So
like,
I can't even tell what they do at that point.
And then they started, like, balling up in a ball.
And it kind of, like,
and, like,
pulsating, pulsated.
And the fins were waving around, and we were just like, what the f***? And, like, people were actually making funny comments.
Are we done?
I'm glad that doesn't happen when I have sex.
Oh. It doesn't?
And then the like, tubes kind of break apart. Not break, because it's slow, like, and slimy.
They just sucked back into their heads and disappeared, kind of.
Then they kind of curled all over each other, like, sort of like they were cuddling or something. Yeah.
With you.
And then they separated.
Down there.
And that was f***ing amazing.
All You Need Is a Wall, Slug Sex, by Francis Willick.
Matt Purdy's piece is next, and I have to say I have a slight personal connection to it, not that I know Matt well or anything, but I have been on many bike trips. And not as long as what is going on in this selection, but what I love about this piece is he also takes this gargantuan amount of time and space and condenses it.
Yeah, in the great tradition of road trip stories, Matt Purdy, making his first radio piece ever, by the way.
Astonishing.
Brings us all of the things you would expect from a road story, including personal existential crisis and meeting intriguing strangers and just finding a lot of adventure along the way, and happily we're invited along for that trip.
Title: Bicycle Chain of Missing Links. Producer: Matt Purdy. Description: An 80-day bicycle trip from New York City to Seattle, camping and recording along the way, condensed into 3 minutes.
I'm in New York
Princeton,
City,
Bluebell,
Lancaster,
East Berlin,
Cowansgap,
Belfort,
Rockwood,
Pittsburgh.
How long do you think it'll take? We're thinking 80 days. Hopefully.
Huh? You got some mountains ahead of you.
Yeah, I bet.
I biked 85 miles yesterday.
It is 2:30 a.m. I am in my tent. It is raining, and my tent has holes in it. I'm figuring out that I don't really have a camper's temperament.
Salem,
Cleveland,
Huron,
Grand Rapids,
Edgerton,
Napanee,
Merrill,
Chicago.
I'll just crunch these exoskeletons for you. I have three of them here, and I have my garden gloves on. So they're nice and crispy and crunchy, and if you were to check on the internet, they even have cicada recipes. Now, I wouldn't dare make anything with them myself, but of course, you know, with the information that we get on the internet, why not put the cicadas in there too?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to know Jesus can do it about it. Jesus did the best he could do when he didn't smoke reefer of that cigarette. Jesus did the best he could do when he didn't smoke.
Gurnee,
Whitewater,
Madison,
Wanawa,
La Crosse.
I am standing on top of a bridge on the Mississippi River.
Minnesota,
Lake City,
Afton,
Minneapolis,
St. Francis,
Royal
Eagle Bend,
Battle
Lake,
and Rapids.
Fargo.
There is now rain dripping on my head. I have no pot or cup to put the rain water in.
I thought I heard something. I have these sleeping pills. Not sleeping pills, but like Tylenol. PM.
Right, so I'm in a tunnel. It's pitch black, except for the entrances. And I've got my headlamp, but it's not doing a whole lot of good.
Page,
Binford,
Lakota,
Rugby,
Minot,
Stan,
Willis,
Colbertson,
Wolf Point,
Malta,
Chinook,
Havre,
Chester.
I think what I'm going to do is move my sleeping bag over to the left a little bit so that the drip does not fall directly on top of me. And I will just deal with it in the morning. Okay. I'm glad we've had this talk. As if on cue.
Browning, East Glacier, Glacier, Whitefish, Eureka, Libby, Clarkson, Blue Slide, Kettle Falls, Republic, Tenasque, Wisp, Ross, Sidra, Woolly, Everett, Seattle.
I'm no one. Nobody knows me here. Nobody expects anything of me. In a strange town, I'm anything.
Bicycle Chain of Missing Links by Matt Purdy.
Next, we're going to hear Andrea Salenzi's entry in the Cold Freezing Night category. Julie, what do you want to tell us about this one?
Well, I think one of the hallmarks of a great radio story is a strong central character. And I think Andrea kind of hit
that
one.
On the head.
Yeah, I challenge you to not fall in love with the protagonist of this little piece by the end of it.
Yeah, and another thing that I find so interesting about this piece, the production is kind of minimal, but the story, and as you say, the characters really come out.
Yeah, kudos to Andrea for telling a very big story very simply.
Title: A Cold Freezing Night, Doomed Lovers. Producer: Andrea Salenzi. Description: I said this is nuts, and he agreed.
I said this is nuts, and he agreed. I said this is really nuts, and he agreed. But we're going to do it anyhow, aren't we? I remember a bitterly cold, it wasn't a hurricane, blizzard. And the radio and the TV were broadcasting the fact that all roads were closed. They could not keep up with the snow. But on this cold, bitter night, we were determined we were going to the opera in New York City. Gil had an almost fatal heart attack Thanksgiving of 1978, and the first real venture out of the house was to be a trip to the opera. Gil said, "We are going." We knew that he would not survive another heart attack. We had him wrapped up in mufflers, and we had quilts in the car, and we went. We were in the city in 45 minutes. Never, ever did we fly like we flew that night. It was like God wanted Gil to be there, and he was so happy. Oh, my God. But don't ask me what opera we saw that night. Never did the orchestra play better or the singers sing better. They were singing for opera lovers, and they were singing about two doomed lovers. But don't they always wind up singing about doomed lovers, no matter what the opera is? It was the beginning of his second act. The first act was the first 49 years. The second act, which we were not sure would ever happen, actually began that night. And that second act lasted from the age of 49 to the age of 65, when he did die of a second fatal heart attack. Quickly and rather painlessly, actually. Then it was my pain after that.
Cold Freezing Night, Doomed Lovers by Andrea Salenzi.
The last piece we're going to hear from Niall Ferrell is a piece so unlike the others, and in fact has really no narrative story, but it packs such a big punch, and it really left me thinking about it a lot.
Yeah, this one I like to think of as beautifully oppressive. Niall is actually a filmmaker from Northern Ireland and has a very personal relationship to the topic of his piece, which is not even a story, as you said. It's more of a list, and it's delivered in a highly stylized way. And you know exactly what's going on about 30 seconds, if 30 seconds into the piece, and you're still going to listen to 2.5 more minutes because there is 2.5 more minutes of information to share. And if you find it oppressive, well, he's trying to say something about the content that he's talking about. And I think it's a perfect example of form and function. It's really one of the most remarkable bits of audio we've heard, let alone short doc submissions over the years.
Title: All You Need is a Separation Barrier. Producer: Niall Farrell. Description: From Baghdad to Western Sahara, an alphabetic listing of the world's prominent separation barriers builds a wall of its own.
Name: Baghdad Wall. Country: Iraq. Built: year: under construction. Length: 5 kilometers. Type: civil pacification. Name: Belfast Peace Lines. Country: Northern Ireland. Built: year: 1970s. Length: 0.5 kilometers. Average: type: civil pacification. Name: Ceuta border fence. Country: Spain and Morocco. Built: year: 2001. Length: 8 kilometers. Type: anti illegal immigration. Name: China North Korea barrier. Country: China and North Korea. Built: year: under construction. Length: 1416 kilometers. Type: anti illegal immigration. Name: Egypt Gaza barrier. Country: Egypt and Palestinian territories. Built: year: 1979. Length: 3.071 kilometers. Type: anti terrorism and illegal immigration. Name: Indian Kashmir barrier. Country: India. Built: year: 2004. Length: 550 kilometers. Type: anti-terrorism. Name: Indo-Bangladesh barrier. Country: India and Bangladesh. Built: year: under construction. Length: 3268 kilometers. Type: anti-illegal immigration. Name: Iran-Pakistan border. Country: Iran and Pakistan. Built: year: under construction. Length: 700 kilometers. Type: anti-drug smuggling. Name: Israeli West Bank barrier. Country: Israel and Palestinian territories. Built: year: under construction. Length: 703 kilometers. Type: anti-terrorism. Name: Kazakh-Uzbekistan barrier. Country: Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. Built: year: 2006. Length: 45 kilometers. Type: anti-drug smuggling. Name: Korean Wall. Country: North Korea and South Korea. Built: year: 1953. Length: 248 kilometers. Type: conflict zone. Name: Kuwait-Iraq barrier. Country: Kuwait and Iraq. Built: year: 1991. Length: 193 kilometers. Type: conflict zone. Name: Malaysia-Thailand barrier. Country: Malaysia and Thailand. Built: year: proposed. Length: 650 kilometers. Type: anti-terrorism. Name: Melilla border fence. Country: Spain and Morocco. Built: year: 1998. Length: 11 kilometers. Type: anti-illegal immigration. Name: Russia-Chechnya barrier. Country: Russia. Built: year: proposed. Length: 700 kilometers. Type: anti-terrorism. Name: Sharm el-Sheikh barrier. Country: Egypt. Built: year: 2005. Length: 20 kilometers. Type: anti-terrorism. Name: Turkmen-Uzbekistan barrier. Country: Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan. Built: year: 2001. Length: 1700 kilometers. Type: anti-illegal immigration. Name: United Nations buffer zone in Cyprus. Country: Cyprus and Northern Cyprus. Built: year: 1974. Length: 300 kilometers. Type: conflict zone. Name: United States-Mexico barrier. Country: United States and Mexico. Built: year: under construction. Length: 3360 kilometers. Type: anti-illegal immigration and anti-drug smuggling. Name: Western Sahara, Berm of. Country: Morocco and Western Sahara. Built: year: 1987. Length: 2700 kilometers. Type: conflict zone.
All You Need is a Separation Barrier by Niall Farrell.
Now that you've heard the winners of the 2010 Short Docs Challenge, go check out the winners of our most recent 2012 Short Docs Challenge. This year, we partnered with the social networking website Everyblock and received 180 neighborly stories from 21 different countries. We'll dedicate an entire ReSound to them soon, but you can take a sneak listen now at thirdcoastfestival.org. ReSound is a production of the Third Coast International Audio Festival in Chicago. I'm Gwen Maxey. The program is produced by Katie Mingle and curated by Johanna Zorn and Julie Shapiro of the Third Coast Festival.
Mimsy were the Borogroves and the Mumraths outgrave.
Resound's intern is Lily Bowie. You can hear today's program at thirdcoastfestival.org, where you can also hear hundreds of outstanding documentaries from around the world. And subscribe to our podcast. Support for Resound comes from Dojo, a full-service digital agency. On the web at doejo.com. Dojo, we fuel ideas that grow.
Keeping your eyes gently closed. Close your eyes tightly.
The Third Coast Festival is a nonprofit arts organization made possible with lead funding from the Richard H. Driehaus Foundation and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Additional support is provided by the Boeing Company Charitable Trust, the Agudino Foundation, and the Menaki Foundation. This program is partially supported by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency. Special thanks to our many individual contributors from Chicago and around the world. The Third Coast Festival was founded in 2000 by WBEZ Chicago. If you want to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Email us at resound@thirdcoastfestival.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter. Resound returns next week with more radio that you can't hear anywhere else unless you live everywhere else.
Well, you, oh my God. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Third Coast Podcast. Stay connected with us through Facebook and Twitter or by signing up for our email list at thirdcoastfestival.org. If you like what you heard today, consider writing us a review on iTunes or sending us a few bucks. As always, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.